Welcome to Vistage Live, the place you can come to for insights, knowledge, and perspectives from a range of experts who can help your small and mid-sized business make a great big impact. My guest today is Ari Galpa. Ari's the world's number one authority on trust-based selling. He's the author of 7 best-selling books and has been featured in CEO Magazine, Forbes, Inc., and Financial Advisor Magazine. Ari's innovative approach challenges traditional sales methods by prioritizing authenticity and integrity, transforming how professionals connect with clients. His best-selling book, Unlock the Sales Game, has become a cornerstone for business owners and entrepreneurs worldwide. In an era where genuine human connection is paramount, Ari's principles reintroduce trust into the sales process, reshaping business relationships. Ari, welcome to Vistage Live.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, great to talk. Love talking about sales on Vistage Live, one of our favorite topics.
Sounds good.
So I'm interested in your innovative approach to sales. Tell me about your sales background. Was it a traditional sales background?
Sure. So I started in high tech. And this is 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
I worked for a company that launched the first online website tracking tools.
Right.
Now it's called Google Analytics.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, you heard that one. So they were the first one out the gate with that. And I had 18 people underneath me, salespeople at the
time. Right,
I was managing a fast-growing company. Mm-hmm. And there's a story behind this. And all the leads that were big opportunities came to me.
Right.
And so I got this phone call one day from a big company asking us for a demo of our product. Mm-hmm. And it was such a big opportunity. If I close this one sale, double turnover in one transaction. That's how big it was.
Yeah, right.
So the day finally came, 4 o'clock Friday afternoons. I was at my conference table in my room with my CEO, and I dialed the phone number of the conference call that they gave me the number of. And my contact says, hello. I say hello. And he says to me, let us tell you who's with us today on the phone. I said, great.
Yeah.
Next thing I hear is, my name is Mike. I'm CEO. I said, oh, excellent. My name is Julie. I'm head of global IT. Perfect. This is Chris, head of global marketing. Amazing. Everybody on this call was a decision maker.
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen today.
Yes.
So I was like, wow, this is a great opportunity. So I had them all log in to our webinar style thing we had back then, showed them live our tools on one of their websites. As I was showing this demo to them, I started hearing noises in the phone call like, wow. This is great. This is amazing. They started asking me all kinds of questions. How does it work? How do we install it? Of course, I had all the right answers. I was competent, professional. There was so much chemistry on this phone call. It was like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're feeling good at this.
They got the questions. I've got the answers. Yeah. I've got the high five from my boss in the back room. He's like, yes. I said, this is so perfect. I did everything I'm taught to do by the sales gurus, books at my house and the seminars I went to. An hour goes by, I'm on a high, and my contact says to me, Ari, we love this. Give us a call a couple of weeks, follow up with us, and we'll move this thing forward. I said, thank you, God. I was so excited. And I said, thank you so much. I said my goodbyes. I took my hand to reach for the off button on the speakerphone, and by complete accident, now it's a divine intervention, I hit the mute button instead of the off button. By accident, a small click happened, and they thought I hung up the phone. In that split second, a voice inside of me said, Ari, go to the dark side. Be a fly in the wall. Go where no one's ever gone before. And they started talking amongst themselves. The guy had left the call. So I listened in. Now, you would imagine that I would have heard things like,
that's good.
That's good.
Loving it.
Amazing.
What's
give them
plan?
A call.
We got the budget on this.
Let's get this going.
Yeah.
Right. But here's what I heard verbatim, word for word. That's why we're all here today. They said this. They said, we're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information and make sure we shop someplace else cheaper. Knife in heart twist. I was in a state of shock. I snapped out of it, hit the off button, but the wall said to myself, what did I do wrong? I was presentable. I was professional. I was not salesy. I was competent.
And they loved the product.
They loved it. I did everything I was taught to do. You know, and then I realized what hit me was somewhere along the way, they feel comfortable not telling me the truth. And I realized that moment there's a game going on in the sales process. but both parties don't feel comfortable getting the truth to people. And my mission in life to untangle this dysfunctional relationship that's going on in business and in life in general on how we communicate with people. How do we build trust with people, not sell to them? How do we connect with them? How do they feel comfortable telling us the truth? And that became my whole philosophy called Unlock the Sales Game over 20 years now, where we've built this thing out.
It's so interesting, Ari, because it's such an uneven partnership.
Yes.
And as a sales professional, you're right. Coming with expertise.
Exact.
You're coming with a solution
yes.
to their problems, but they're potentially viewing you as annoying, untrustworthy, tricky, don't care about them.
Having a hidden agenda to
totally.
Make their own sale.
Totally.
That's the rut. That's the wall.
Yeah, it is the wall. And I agree with you, and I'm so interested to get deeper into
sure.
this conversation, but we could all do so much better if we were, you want to fix this, you want to solve this problem, I've got a really good solution.
Right.
Let's have a talk about it.
Right. Seems like a normal conversation to have with someone.
But it isn't.
Why is all of this game going on? You know, why are these, all this
drama? And why have people
drama?
Have a problem with sales? Let's get to it
Let's
then.
Do it.
So what did you do? What did you come to then?
So I came to the conclusion that how we've been taught to sell all these years is wrong, because all the philosophies teach inherently to be solution-centric.
Yeah.
Where your job is to show your value,
yeah.
prove your expertise,
yeah.
show your credibility, essentially flex to show them you can solve their problem.
Yeah.
What's not relevant and what's not visible here is how to focus only on their problem, because the irony of all this is they don't really care about how you solve their problem.
Mm.
What they care about is, are you the one to solve it or not?
Yes.
That question has to be answered first before you get into your solution. And I built my whole body of work around this whole problem-centric concept, like a doctor-patient relationship.
So the bit that they have to get over early in the relationship is, you're the one I want to go with.
Right. They have to trust you enough at the human level
right.
prior to your solution.
Yes.
But most people who sell start with, let me show you what we have.
Right.
Oh my God, we can help you. We're the number one. They talk about themselves.
Do you know, as a customer, putting a customer hat on, when you said I did the big demonstration, that's what turns me off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a joke in my team that if ever someone's coming to do a demonstration, they think you've got about 3 minutes and she's going to leave the room.
Correct.
Because it's not about me.
No.
Yeah, right.
Right. So it's not about them is the big shift. We've been taught in sales to make it all about us,
yeah.
our product, our solution, our brand, our logo, how we, all about us.
Yeah.
Our whole shift is, it's not about you. You're not relevant here. It's about you facilitating their ability to trust you, open up to you, be vulnerable with you, and eventually ask you this question. How can you help me?
Mm.
That takes pause, centeredness, and calmness to get that stage with someone where they say, how can you help me? That's hard for people to sell, because we're taught to engage, create momentum, move them forward, and build a relationship with people prior to the sale, which we'll talk about as well, why that's a problem.
And we can also get to it, but that's how we manage our sales teams. What are your numbers? What's your prediction? What's the probability? How are you going to finish this month? Because that's asking about the salesperson.
Right. So all those questions are missing one important question, which is, to what extent have you built trust with them?
Yeah.
Most sales management or managers don't even understand how to even understand that concept. They measure activities and behaviors based on movement in the CRM system.
Totally.
First meeting, second meeting,
totally.
Close percentages.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with how much the cost I trust you.
Do you know, I think back to the day, back to my early sales VP days, and the team coming back from a meeting and saying, they love me.
We got this.
They love me. And it'd be, well, of course they love you, but what's happening? Yeah, but also that we got this because they need it. That's the other mistake salespeople make, don't they? My solution's so good, they need it.
That's making assumptions. That's the first mistake that most people in selling do, is they assume the opportunity is going to happen because there's a fit.
That's right.
And then what happens is a rude awakening happens when the other person says to them, I want to think about it. You're like, Think about what?
Yeah, what's wrong?
You're a perfect fit for us. We have the answer. What do you want to think about? That's code for I don't trust you yet.
Okay. Tell me more about that trust building then.
Okay. So that's the key element here is it's a brand new skill that most salespeople and sales leaders don't even understand themselves how to implement inside of a company. But it's a conscious effort to do this. But it's about first stage is a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. Shifting your thinking away from selling to more of a doctor-patient construct where you're the doctor and they're the patient. Right? You're not the pharmacist. You don't dispense the medicine.
Yeah.
You diagnose the problem first.
Yeah.
But not just qualify them. Mm. You unpack it, what I call going down the iceberg with them using trust-based languaging. Mm-hmm. So I developed a whole set of languaging that's not fact-finding. It's trust-building instead.
Mm.
Where you unravel, help them unpack, and even do a cost of an action. Help them build a business case for why the problem is costing them money.
Yes.
Then you ask them, is this a priority for you to address once and for all?
Mm.
They have to own it first before you have permission to talk about the solution, which is hard because the sales we're taught to engage, build momentum, move them forward, create chemistry.
Show how smart you are.
Yeah, flex, show them, hey, we got our stuff, we got this. That's the last thing you should be doing. That breaks trust.
Right.
Because it's commoditized. Everyone else does the same approach.
Well, that's right. And that's when they're going to say, great. Well, your people didn't say it on the call, but they said it afterwards.
Yeah. That's we'll look elsewhere.
Shopping around.
And we'll compare you.
Yeah.
It's like going to the shopping to the Woolworths and saying apples against apples. What's the difference?
Yeah.
They're selling the same way.
Yeah.
They're the same CRM software. What's the difference? So but the whole big idea here is this. In a commoditized market that we live in right now, your differentiation no longer is your offering. It's your approach. If you hone in on just mastering a different approach, that's your difference to the market because you're commoditized. Others sell what you do.
Mm. Mm. So your differentiation isn't
your offer or your years in business or your technology because others can say we have the same as them. We're even better.
It's the way you sell.
It's how you approach them.
Okay.
The languaging, the process itself tells them, wow, they're so different. The way he is with us, how he's speaking with us, making me feel like I'm important. It's not about him. Because the decision to buy is usually emotional first. It's intellectual last.
So, do you know, I know that when I hear, through all the years, when I hear a salesperson on the phone that has done well, it's when they hang up and say, they said, I haven't spoken to anyone like that before. That's positive. So I'd love to explore with you, Ari, the language and the process. So let's start with the language.
Let's do that.
Yeah, how do you do that?
So our construct we created is called the one call sale.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the frame.
All right, you got me already.
Yeah, I was like, how do I do that? You know? So when I say the one call sale, I don't mean a signed contract in the first meeting, obviously. What I do mean, though, is a commitment to your process to schedule a next step on your calendar.
Yes.
To onboard, essentially.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So how do you do that? So let's just say you have a sales team and they have leads coming in and their first meeting starts on a live Zoom call, for instance. A first get to know someone.
Yeah.
Usually those calls start with, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Where are you from? How'd you hear about us? I love your shoot. They try and build rapport, which is bad because they know it's fake.
Yeah.
So here's how we do it. They show up on Zoom. First thing you say is, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you as well. That's it for chit chat.
Yeah.
Then you say this. If it's okay with you, if you wouldn't mind, take a step back for a moment. Walk me a bit through your background, your situation, up to your current challenge you have right now to your business, and we'll go from there. Would that be okay with you? Take your fingers like this over your mouth. Sit back like a doctor. Go like this. Train yourself not to talk because you have to physically stop talking. It's very hard for people to sell because they want to share. They're excited. They want to engage. But you have to be centered and calm. Allow them because they're testing you. They want to see if you're going to try into the sales thing or not. And if you do, they'll be nice to you. But the back of your mind, their mind, it's over. There's no connection happening. So that's how we begin the meeting. Then, of course, they reveal to you what their challenge is. Then, well, if you're an expert, you're going to probably try and solve it in the back of your mind because it's not like it's a new scenario. You've been around a long time. So our whole coaching kind of expresses to them, you have to stay calm. Do not try and solve the problem. Go further. So then you summarize the core issue and say, so what I'm hearing from you is your core issue is X. Is that right? They say, yes, exactly. Next question down the iceberg. How long has this been concerned for you for? What have you done so far on your own to try and resolve this? What's it costing your company to have this issue on an ongoing basis that's impacting your business? Have you economically tried to understand the impact of it? That's called COI, cost of an action. You're helping them really unpack their own problem, which they haven't seen 360 until they met you. And they kind of realize, wow, this is actually costing us a lot of money. And think about it this way. Then you'd ask, is this a priority for you to address once and for all, to resolve, to move on and get it resolved or not? I'm okay either way. I'm okay either way. It's about you owning it, not me owning it. So that's kind of the quick construct of what the process is for phase one of that call.
So what I like is also, and I've seen it, is you've got the customer describing their pain.
Yes.
Because I think another thing that salespeople or even professionals who are selling can go into the assumptions. So the person starts talking, tell me a bit about you. Well, I'm in this kind of situation. I've been in it for a while. And right. So.
They size them up immediately because it's not new. They've heard this 100 times.
Right. And you said that before. Yeah, you're right.
They make assumptions.
It's totally they make assumptions. Say, right. So your biggest issue here is you really must be having problems with, lay it out. You must really be having problems with your supply chain. No? No, that's not it. And you've lost trust straight away then, haven't you?
Or if it is, they'll probably say, we got you. We can take care of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me show what we got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They go right into solution mode.
Yeah.
Once they've qualified the person.
So what about in that situation, if you play the hunch?
Sure.
Or they say supply chain, what about something like, does it build trust or it doesn't? Like, I know this. I was talking to someone the other day with exactly the same issue, or that's quite common.
See, a lot of salespeople do that. That's a technique.
Yeah.
And people know it a mile away.
Like a feel felt.
And it's about you and your story.
Yeah, right.
It's hard, I know. It's hard to
you
be quiet.
I know.
It's so hard to be quiet and silent.
Yeah, right. So that's
how them thing. To unravel with you. That's how you communicate with any human being. Your husband, kids, you have to listen. Allow them to feel you're listening. Because what we do is we do that. We kind of bring in, let me tell you how we have clients like you.
Because I'm so smart.
I solved this already. You're okay. Give me a cuddle, a hug. You're going to be okay. Come over our world. You'll be fine. We'll be fine. See, it's already assumptive in itself. He's not ready yet to trust your situation. We can't help ourselves. We want to insert something to show them we can do the job. That's what that was, what you just did there.
Yeah.
It's unconscious, you know. And it comes from the need to prove ourselves, to show them. We can help you. It's okay. Relax. But no, they're not ready yet.
Yeah, right.
You have to unravel the onion, pull it back.
How do you... two questions.
No, please do.
So let me put the two out so I don't... Yes. One is, how do you know when they're ready?
Sure.
But the second one is, what if your first engagement is on the phone?
Okay.
So they can't see you doing it.
That's okay.
That's
okay.
And leaving silence on a phone is even more uncomfortable. So why don't we start with that? You're not on Zoom.
That's okay.
You're not face-to-face.
Sure.
How do you do that on
Phone Zoom? Is just fine. Obviously, you won't do the physical thing, but you can do it for yourself to keep yourself quiet because we have to do that just for our own selves.
Yeah.
But it's the same process because actually, at first, it feels a bit stilted and uncomfortable. Mm. But it becomes very natural once they start talking. So when you say, tell me about your situation and what the issues you have right now, they just start talking. Okay. Tell me more about that. How long has that been an issue for you for? You just start talking. What have you done so far on your own? It just flows. There's no awkwardness in there at all.
This keeps going. What's that going to do then?
So they keep unraveling and they're like finding themselves interested in this dialogue because it's about them.
Yeah.
You're the first person who spent the time to actually help them see the gravity and seriousness of their own situation. Mm. Everyone else is selling. You're not. So the big idea here is stop selling. It breaks the process.
everything I've ever known.
I know. Got to throw it all out. At least, you know.
So, Ari, I love that. So it's listening. They're telling you it all.
Yeah.
You're asking a lot of, and what else?
Okay, you're asking.
And what else?
You're asking these questions in order down what I call the iceberg. See, if you don't go down the iceberg, you're always above the surface level of communication.
Yeah.
It's a game going on above there.
Yeah.
They have to feel comfortable opening up to you. That requires calming down, staying calm, having these questions, and allowing them to really understand the gravity of the situation. Then you ask at the end, is this a priority for you to address and resolve once and for all, to get this off your plate and move on? And you have to wait. It requires immense patience, because I know we want to move them forward. And they're going to say, yeah, obviously it is. Yes, it is. You say, no problem. Here's a segue to the next phase. May I walk you through our roadmap and process of how we address your issues? Would that be okay with you?
Yes, doctor.
Silence.
Yeah, sorry.
Notice why I asked permission. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah.
They're judging you and hiring you on your approach. You've said zero about your company, about this. You said nothing about you so far. It's only about them. Their intuition and instinct is now saying to themselves, I can trust her.
Well, relief is kicking in too, isn't it?
This is an emotional connection, not intellectual. They're not judging you off a spreadsheet. They're hearing your voice. They're judging your communication process. If it feels like selling, it's over. That's why it requires letting go of all those voices in the back of your mind saying, I've got to engage. I've got to show. I've got to sell.
And do you know the other voices I see people hearing? I've got this, getting really excited pretty quickly. He's going to buy it. He's going to buy it.
That's called the hopium drug.
The hopium.
It's where you get this, all this hopium excitement in your body. It goes, oh, this is perfect. They're qualified. They're multinational. Commission time. Yeah, I got this. You lost them right there because you lost being present with them.
Yeah, because it's getting too.
You got to stay inside their world. That's the key. It's so hard for us. We want to think about our goals, what you want. It's so hard to be present with people because we want to go where you want to go. But you got to stay with them. The minute you break from them, it's over.
Yeah.
It's very delicate.
It is delicate. So, you know, would it be all right if I, are you open to me telling you?
Love it. May I walk you through our process and roadmap for how we go about addressing your issues? And remember, you showed them zero so far.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to say, sure, obviously, because it feels right now. Yeah. Then you walk them through a process of how you go about solving their problem, not your demo or your solution or your pricing, but
your background.
Correct. Nothing about you. It's not your framework and process model. Mm-hmm. Like you might say, look, from here, we have a 4-phase process. Phase one is we do a discovery phase. We meet with you and your team. Mm-hmm. Look at we interview your people. Look at your economics. We do a deep dive. Then we go to phase two. We analyze that, put a plan together. Then we have a phase three where we present the plan to you. In phase four, we decide to go from there. That's our process. Now, if you did it on Zoom, you visually show them a map.
Yeah.
Left to right visual tool. Yeah. But on the phone, you'd verbalize it. But you show them a process, not talk about you or your firm. It's a meta step prior to the pricing. Everyone misses that. They go right to, let me show what we do. We have all the services. We can do this. We can do that.
And it's about a customer, isn't it?
It's over. You broke it right there too because you're missing. See, they need to see a framework from you to have confidence you will not drop the ball. Structure equals trust. Complexity equals distrust. It's got to be simple and easy for the human being brain to comprehend a step-by-step process.
Now, what about the idea? This is my personal sales clinic with you.
Field therapy. Yeah.
It's great. I'm going to be so good after this. What about the idea of when to kind of alleviate their pain? You don't want to do that too early either, do you?
What do you mean by alleviate?
Well, okay. So if they're saying, I'm really struggling with this issue.
Sure.
I guess it's a similar of showing you where's too early if you say, well, here's what you could do about that. Kind of consult.
But we're not saying what to do about how to solve it. We're saying here's the process for That's us to figure mean. Out how to solve it.
And so I guess I'm agreeing with you that it's so important not to jump into any
Do not attempt to solve their problem, which is so hard.
I needed you to say it.
We live inside our world of our solution every single day at work. All we know is our answers. And we feel like our obligation is to provide those answers to people. But if you do it prematurely, the process, you break trust.
Right. And do you know, isn't that interesting? Because I think, again, professional selling, think that that's creating trust and creating credibility. That's the word I'm after.
Good. Here's the thing. Credibility has been commoditized.
Go on.
Everyone else has credibility. They have websites. They have been around for a long time. You don't win there. It's over. That's all ever been used. What's left that's untouched is trust. They're not going to hire you because of your credibility or you're with a big firm. They know you're trying to sell them something. There's no emotional connection to your brand. You feel connected, but not them. So the idea of credibility in self no longer has value.
That's really
it. Goes down to the, like you said, the one-on-one dialogue with you and that person. Mm-hmm. Do they trust you as a human being first without having a hidden agenda? Mm-hmm. You have to be agenda free, which is hard for people because it requires letting go.
Well, your head's going because also as a salesperson, I don't even know what date it is. Wherever we are in April. April's a bad month. We've got Anzac Day. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. All that's in your head.
Yeah.
So how do you coach salespeople to, you know, I've seen the lovely technique of the sitting back.
Sure.
But how do you coach salespeople to clear their mind and build trust?
Okay. We have a transformational process around this where we coach sales teams to let go of their need to prove themselves.
Yeah.
That's, people say to me, tell us about your program, Ari. I say, it's not a program, it's an intervention. Okay, it's literally an intervention to help them let go of their old construct and be present with people. We do that first, over a few sessions with them. Then they get it right away. They feel a sense of relief. They can let go of their need to carry all this weight on their shoulders. They breathe. Then we helped with the languaging and the process for how to engage. This could be outbound prospecting, inbound leads, even marketing. We have a whole approach around marketing as well to build trust in the sales process also. Because the big idea here is you differentiate your company from your process itself, not your solution, which is hard because companies operate off a product.
You differentiate your company from the process itself, not the solution.
Yes, the process.
By delivering such an excellent process.
Yes.
That's the differentiation.
The experience is so different with your team versus anyone else. They can't help but to choose you because it feels right.
Yeah, I get it.
Everyone else feels icky. It's like, oh, send me a PDF proposal.
Yeah,
send me. I'm calling to follow up. How are you doing? How's it going? Oh my God, they've been so over this.
Yeah.
So we have a whole language set we changed. Like, for instance, we don't use the word follow-up.
Mm.
That's the worst word to ever use ever in selling. Delete that word from every email anyone ever uses if you're watching this right now. Never use that word again. Ever.
Two words.
Two words. Don't use follow-up ever as of today.
And what would you do instead?
Instead, you say this. I'm giving you a call to see if you have any feedback on our previous conversation, any feedback on proposal, any feedback on our last meeting.
Because it's assuming there's something.
Feedback's going backwards. Follow-up's going forwards, which is pressure. You're putting pressure on people. And that's one word. Yes. Who uses the word follow-up? Salespeople.
Yeah.
They know it a mile away.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling follow-up in our last meeting. Oh, God, I'm being chased right now. That is not trust building. That's breaking trust. All the language we've been taught to use has to all be thrown out because it does not fit in today's world where you're being shopped by your prospects who already learned about you online ahead of time. They don't want to know about you. They want to know, can they trust you to solve their problem?
And when I first read about you and was preparing to talk to you, the idea of trust took me back to an old relationship salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the opposite of that. That kind of rapport, buddy, let's play golf. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, I've seen you go to sailing traffic. You do none of that. It's the opposite of that, isn't it?
See, that comes from the know, like, and trust model that we all grew up with years ago. They got to know us first.
Yeah.
They got to like us first and trust us.
Yeah.
What I discovered is they don't even have to like you to work with you.
Yes.
They just have to trust you.
Yes.
So no longer do you have to start working on rapport building and having lunch and golf, playing golf with them for months and helping you out the deal. That's all over.
Yes.
Instead, you eliminate all that, save yourself some time, compress your sales cycle down to a short amount of steps, and only focus on trust building and game over. You own your market.
So tell me some of the other language.
Sure.
I'm never saying follow up again.
Okay, good. That's the first step in your transformation.
Yeah. Transforming
there you go.
Your eyes. Yeah.
The next big idea is, you know, like typical close on a call with someone, you know, let's move forward or you're going to sign.
Next steps.
Classic, you know, they hate that. So here's what you say instead. Where should we go from here? And allow them to step into the next step themselves. Or here's another one. End of a call with a new prospect. Typically, it kind of goes like this. They say to you, oh, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much. And they say, I would like to think about it. And give us a call in a couple of weeks. And the person says, sounds good. Nice to meet you. Enjoy your day. Goodbye. And they end up chasing these people, chasing what I call ghosts.
Yeah.
Like a cold vibration.
Yeah.
So instead, what you do is, if the conversation goes well, there's a connection there and a problem there, I have a languaging to segue them from that end of that call to a scheduled meeting on your calendar.
Mm.
If they're off your calendar, you're in trouble. You're chasing them.
Yeah.
You get them on the calendar every step of the way. Here's how you do it. Call comes to an end. So far, so good. You say, I was just thinking, would you be open? Keyword, not interested. Would you be open to scheduling time to meet up again, to brainstorm some different ideas together, to think through your situation some more, and take it from there? Would you be open to that?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if they're qualified and there was a good conversation, they're going to say, sure.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'll call you next week and follow up with you. See, if you imagine having your whole pipeline on your calendar, moving every step of the way, like a doctor's office. By appointment-only business model. That's what I'm teaching now, how to become appointment-only. Yeah. As opposed to chasing leads.
Yes.
They're going cold every day. They don't want to be chased.
No.
The reason why they're chasing is because they messed up on the first conversation.
Yeah. The first conversation is critical, isn't it?
Yes. It's a trust conversation first, not a matched conversation.
Yes.
That we're a fit thing. You know the whole fit thing? Hey, let's see if we're a fit today between us and you, and if we're a fit, we'll get together. Guy's like, fit? So premature, isn't it? I just want to make sure I can trust you first.
Yeah, right.
I hate talk salespeople do.
Yeah.
Well, we have to see to our meeting and see if we're fit today. We'll discuss your needs and see if we're... Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just say hello.
Yeah, okay.
Stop being the salesperson.
Yeah. So I'm not going to follow up. I'd like to get some feedback. I'd love some...
Feedback.
Yeah, I'd love some feedback.
Yes.
Then are you open to setting up another time?
For us to brainstorm and continue our conversation.
Continue our conversation. Great. What else? Give me some more.
And then where should we go?
Oh, yeah.
Where
should we go from here?
From here. That's another key phrase I developed. I have every single scenario ever imaginable in a cheat sheet with language next to it.
Yeah.
Voicemails, outbound cold calls. We even changed that as well. So how do most outbound cold calls go? Phone rings, salesperson says what?
Hi.
My name is.
I'm from.
We are a. And the person's like, it's over right there.
Or worse for me, if someone phones me, hi, Stephanie, it's Ari here from so-and-so. How are you today?
Oh, that's the, I get it all the time.
Annoyed.
That's the worst. I don't even know who you are.
Right.
So we reframe the entire approach. Here's how we do it. Our goal is trust building, not selling.
Yeah.
We say, you know, phone rings, you say hello, you say, you know, hi, my name's Ari, and I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment. And they're going to go, you sound safe. You're not trying to sell anything. Could be anybody, maybe a client. I'll say, how can I help you? That's called a two-way dialogue at hello. Without creating the walls to go out, pressure.
Yeah.
Then you say, I'm just giving you a call or a ring to see if you'd be open to some different ideas or insights, not information, insights on how to address the issues of, and you plug in the problems that you believe your market has. So you're problem-centric on that call, not who we are, what we do, and how we work.
Yeah.
Same concept, but on the outbound.
So, and going back, when you said, hi, it's Ari. Can you just say that first again?
So I don't say my last name or where I'm from. I just said, my name's Ari, like a normal person. And I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment. Notice the tonality. I drop my voice at the end. I don't say, I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment.
Yeah.
It's over there. They can feel the pressure just on your tonality alone. You have to drop your voice so they come in to save you. They say, how can I help you? That's bonding and hello. That's the dream come true for salespeople. Then you say, I'm just giving you a call to see if you'd be open to some different ideas and insights on how to address the issues of, and you plug in the problems you help people solve in your market, which you know they already have.
There's so much here, Ari. And I'm mindful that when I look back at this episode, I think I was a bit giddy because you said simple things that have changed some fundamentals about how salespeople have been operating for a long time. And salespeople at all levels, outbound phone-based, big, complex contract sales, professional services. So I think it's really, really interesting. And what I've taken from you is it's about trust at the beginning. And it's not about credibility because everyone's credible.
Not about value either.
It's not about value.
Stop delivering value up front. Stop doing free consulting.
Yeah.
Stop doing free education. Stop giving.
Yeah, right. And stop stumbling over, you know, if your name is as long as mine, by the time you get out Stephanie Christopher, it's sort of already, the time's up.
Sure.
I mean, I think there's so much that people can learn from you. I've had so much value from this conversation, and it's just been a pleasure to meet you. Ari, thank you so much for joining us on Vistage Live.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
So that's it for Vistage Live today. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe so you can listen to us each episode. And for more information about Vistage, check us out on vistage.com.au.